Welcome. I'm Victoria Schneps, president of Schneps Media, and today bringing you an A-lister if there ever was an A-lister. And John Beyer is my hero because not only does he run a business with his head, but he also runs a business with his heart. And life has touched him, and he has touched others because of that. And he has not had an easy journey. He has had a very complicated journey. And he's going to share with us his fight and little battle for life against alcoholism, a fight forever for his child who was a special needs person, and his business. That's the everyday thing that pays for everything else to have happened. So welcome, John. So happy to have you with me.
Hi, Vicki. Good to see you.
So I didn't mention, but I will, that you have a wonderful book that you've written called Live a Little Better. And it really shares the story. You know, I was reading when you, I know all the streets in Flushing that you were living on in Left Rec City. We even did a newspaper for them. You know, what your world was that led you to where you are today. But let's start at the beginning. You know, in a way, your parents were an inspiration, even if it was negative. Talk about those growing up years and fighting the alcoholism and how it really engulfed you and then you lifted your head.
Sure. My dad was at one time a very, very successful photographer. Imagine this. He had the contract to take the school photographs for the entire New York City school district. I mean, that's unbelievable. So we were living pretty well for a while. But alcoholism took root with both my parents. I don't remember exactly when or how. I was too young. They wound up getting separated. And we moved out of Riverdale in the Bronx into Left Rec City on April 20th, 1968. It was very nice, actually, at the time, but it was a little bit of a step down from where we did live. And overnight, we went from living very well to having eviction notices on my door every morning as an eight-year-old, waking up. And they're embarrassing, by the way, because your neighbors in the hallways would see them. And Child Protective Services was called, and there was fighting when they were trying to, you know, meet together and make up, and that was never working out. Unfortunately, watched my parents, I watched it destroy their lives. We became very poor very quickly. My sisters are older than me. They wound up moving out as young as they could, 16, 17 years old. They were sleeping on everybody's couches. And at 11, 12 years old, I mean, there was literally no food in the refrigerator. And I wound up one day going across the street to Walbaum's, shopping the grocery store. I had no money. And I started putting the carts back in the corral and helping the women load their packages into the cars, especially if they had babies or something like that. They would sometimes give me a quarter. And I don't know where I got this idea to do this. And then it was a very small parking lot, and I would corral the wagons. And at the end of the day, this big guy comes out and says to me, "What are you doing?" And I said to him, I'm just trying to make some money here and do this." He was the manager of the store. And he wound up giving me $2. That changed my life. It was very empowering. I had created my first job. I mean, I would literally open up the refrigerator in my house and there would be a slice of Kraft cheese in there where the edges were a little starting to, you know, get moldy and brown. And I was working that day so I can go get a slice of pizza. Well, I had pizza that day, you know, and that changed my life. It was very empowering. And I started working at a very young age. I was making over $200 a week at the age of 13 years old back in 1973. Can you imagine that?
Amazing.
Yeah. And I went to, you know, I graduated high school, and my parents still drank. They never got back together. They got divorced. And my dad died when I was 21. And I started drinking. I mean, I was drinking. The first time I drank differently. I swore it was going to be different for me. I wasn't going to let alcohol ruin my life, but it did. I became an alcoholic myself. And my dad died, like I said, when I was 21. He died directly due to this disease. And it was pour me, pour me, pour me a drink. You know, I felt sorry for myself. And then my mom died of cancer just a few years after that, when I was 24. And again, it was pour me a drink. And I was in bad shape. I was having car accident after car accident. I have a scar to show for right on my face. And it was hell. I was living in a basement apartment, and I was tending bar, I was moving furniture, I was doing all these jobs to make a few bucks here and a few bucks there. And I went on a bender 40 years ago, starting on January 6th. A friend of mine had died, and he was only in his 30s, and I was 25, 26 years old at the time. And on March 30th or 31st, I came to from being drunk. I looked outside the window. The sky was a medium blue. The clock said 6 o'clock, and I didn't know if it was AM or PM. Can you imagine coming to, not waking up? I can't say I woke up because I came to, I was out of it, and not knowing if it's day or night. I wound up going to an AA meeting that night. I never stopped going. And the title of the book, Live a Little Better, comes from the billboard that stayed on the Long Island Expressway for decades.
Yes, I remember.
Yes, that was there for decades. And my daughter was taking photography when she was going to college. And one day we're stuck in traffic on the Long Island Expressway, because you're always in traffic on the LAE,
Got
especially
it.
over there. And all of a sudden she's rolling down the window as I'm doing 15 miles an hour. And she's taking this picture with a 35 millimeter camera, of all things. And and she takes that picture, and I love that picture. And I thought that maybe somehow those words, live a little better, subconsciously, got to me on some level, that I always just wanted to live a little better.
Yes.
Fell
Well, it was
into
in you. It was in you when you
yeah.
went to that store and you helped ladies with their cart, their packages. That was in you. You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And tell us about your son, because he's so special and he also impacted your life. Tell us a
Oh,
little bit
yes.
about how you were able to cope with that challenge.
Yeah, so we had my daughter Lauren first, and then my son came 20 months later. And at his second birthday, he was diagnosed with autism. He's 34 years old now. So 32 years ago, he was diagnosed with autism. And he's not a high functioning, he's not particularly low functioning. He's not, necessarily, self-injurious or anything like that. He has very limited language. But my son, he's a delight, he's a joy. I mean, he changed us in so many ways. He took our lives in a different direction. And first of all, talk about hard work. When you learn through applied behavioral analysis, that's very tedious, difficult work. And we had a full staff coming in and out of the house. But what he taught us really is to give back. Over the years, my wife and I have learned a lot. And that's part of the, a big part of what the book is all about. It's really to help people. It's there to help people, encourage them that if they do have a drinking problem, there's places to go. If you do have a child with autism, there's a lot of resources. When my son was diagnosed, there wasn't a thing called Google. Google didn't exist. You couldn't just look up, how to treat autism. So things have changed dramatically for the better that way. But no, my son changed out. He makes us want to be benevolent and give back to the community. And at this point in my life, that's all we want to do
But
is
let me go back with you a minute because I don't want to ignore that in between all of these challenges, you built Men on the Move, this fabulous building, a moving company and storage unit. I don't know, where did that start from?
so. I was always been competitive, and I had a high work ethic. And I watched, because I was drinking in my mid 20s. I got sober on March 31st, 1986. So it's gonna be 40 years. And I was watching my friends acquire co-ops and apartments in Queens, along New York. And I'm saying, I want to catch up. So I worked very hard, and I got a truck. A buddy of mine put me on his moving truck, and he said, "You should start your own business." And Men on the Move was born 40 years ago, a little over 40 years ago. And we got a truck a year for many, many years. So there's 20 some odd trucks sitting, hopefully not sitting in the parking lot,
Right. We don't want them
but
sitting. We want them out on the streets.
roll out all over Queens and Long Island, every day. And we've become a household name, really, on Long Island and Queens, Men on
Well,
the Move.
you've made it. You've made it a household name by your involvement, by your really having this passion for what you do. And then you tell us a little about the storage units that became part of it.
The real estate, I went to a seminar I've always been curious in autodidactic, I guess is the word for it. And we went to I went to a seminar about self-storage, and I said I can do this. I mean, I was a college dropout. I have 30 some odd credits, but I would tell you to get your degree, but I wouldn't give this advice of not getting your degree. But you don't need it to become successful. We've become very successful without it. So I went there, and I opened up my first storage facility, and I wound up getting another one and another one and another one. And yeah, so we've acquired many and sold a few. And yeah, we're the largest independently owned first generation moving company on Long Island.
Well, any of the kids had any interest? Does Laura have any interest?
No, my daughter's a social worker, which is lovely. She helps people. It's great.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it is. Well, you know, what would you say would be some secrets of success that you could share with our listeners? Advice that you can give them on how to get on that pattern and path to success.
Well, if you think you have any kind of a problem, get help. First of all, don't be afraid to ask for help in any way. I call business owners, that's in reference to drinking, but in terms of, I had on my phone, my screensaver for many, many years was Obsess for Success. I mean, I used to work, I'm a little older now, so I do work a little bit less, but I used to work 60, 70, 80 hours a week, every week. And I did that for decades, frankly. And you know, in the first draft of the book, I wrote, I worked like a maniac. I worked like a maniac, and I had to take that out because I repeated it so often. But I truly did. I worked tirelessly to get it, and I obsessed on it. It was my baby. It is my baby. You know, we wake up every day. We're not perfect, but we're well intended. So we want to just give them a fair shake, but that's I we worked. We just worked very hard. There's no quick scheme there. You know, always remain curious and learn. Just learn. And I was never afraid to take chances.
Well, I think that was the entrepreneur in you. And I
Yeah.
think that that's really where it stays forever, you know. And now you've opened up your world to be able to help other people with your philanthropy and enabling that to happen. And that your son is in safe hands, having this wonderful opportunity from work at Spectrum and be able to be the most he can be. That's what we want for our children, like
That's
my Lara. I wanted her to be the most she could be, and you're doing that for your son. So I am so delighted. This is John Byers, who's been with us, who wrote a wonderful book, Live a Little Better. And he has worked obsessively to make it better. And his secret to success is mine. If you work hard, anything is possible. So thank you so much, John, for being with us today.
Thank you, Vicky. Great seeing you.
Our A-lister, John Byer. Make sure you go out and buy that book, Live a Little Better, because he's giving all the proceeds to this wonderful cause, Spectrum Designs, that employs people who are special. So till next time, this is Victoria Schnepp signing off. Bye now.